ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Offensive, harmful, and absolutely appalling is how the Eagles responded to receiver DeSean Jackson's Instagram post of an anti-Semitic message that he attributed to Adolf Hitler, as well as expressed admiration for Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan. Jackson's spoken with GM Howie Roseman, and we'll talk with team owner Jeffrey Lurie. No discussion of suspension or termination raised with Jackson at this point. He has apologized for posting that post and for any hurt he's caused. Yankee slugger Aaron Judge, slowed this spring by a stress fracture in his rib, has declared himself game ready. On paper, the Yankees tied for the fifth easiest schedule. White Sox have the easiest schedule in the majors. The hardest belongs to the Phillies, notes ESPN's Buster Olney.
The division they're in, defending champion Atlanta Braves, back-to-back NL East titles, the Nationals, the Mets played great down the stretch. They're going to be tough. And their interleague opponents, Yankees, Rays, Red Sox, Blue Jays. It is a tough road for the Philadelphia Phillies.
Wizards guard Bradley Beal won't play in the NBA restart because of a right rotator cuff injury. Nets guard Spencer Dinwiddie won't be playing in Orlando following a second positive COVID-19 test.
When you saw the number, admit it, your eyes popped out of your head. You looked at it and said, is it real? Are we seeing a change? A quarterback getting that kind of money on those many years? That's what we saw yesterday. And right after we got off air, of course. Couldn't happen 10 minutes earlier. Right after we got off air yesterday, the news broke that Patrick Mahomes signed a mega deal, 10-year contract, 10 years additional to the 2 years he already has remaining. So we know that Patrick Mahomes right now is under contract to be the starting quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs for the next 12 years. It's First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz, and the question is, who benefits the most from this deal? There are a lot of different people that had eyeballs on what Mahomes was going to get paid, and I want your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. David in Dallas. David, what do you got? What's your take on who benefits the most?
I think the AFC West benefits as well as the rest of the league. They're not going to have enough money to get players around him. So they're going to have to scrimp and scramble. Who's going to be their backup quarterback if he gets COVID or if he goes down with another injury this year? They have nobody.
Well, David, I love the take as a Raiders fan. I mean, I wish I could agree with you. The only unfortunate thing is that they figured it out last year. I mean, Mahomes missed some time last year, and they did figure it out. And you're right. Is it more difficult to build around this? Yes. But as Tim Hasselbeck pointed out, for anyone that hasn't seen the numbers, over the next 3 years, Teddy Bridgewater costs more than Patrick Mahomes does. So there's a 3-year window right now where, frankly, the Chiefs are sitting pretty, and then the number gets escalated. As the number gets escalated, I still believe that they'll find enough players that want to play around Patrick Mahomes, and he'll start to play with that funny money. That's the other part of it. First Take, by the way. First Take, your take, brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. MyComputerCareer.edu. You guys can get in on the fun on the Shell Penzoil Performance Line. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. That's how you get in. Tell me who you think benefits the most from Mahomes' deal. Now, one of the names that obviously has come up throughout the course of this conversation from callers, from Twitter, from us, is Dak Prescott. We know that Dak is sitting back here saying, all right, you know, there was this conversation that the Cowboys had to get it done before the Chiefs did because they had to figure out how to get Dak signed without that big Patrick Mahomes number. Well, that didn't happen. So now that this deal is done, for Dak, who signed the franchise tender with the Cowboys in late June, what's it all mean? Marcus Spears and Stephen A. broke it down today on First Take.
Dak is going to have a contract that is very lucrative, and he's going to get paid handsomely. But I've been like drilling the fact that this is a different type of situation. This is based on what we've seen Pat Mahomes do, this is a once-in-a-generational type quarterback. So they create their own market. There's this whole mirage that, you know, it's going to affect everybody and Deshaun and Lamar and Dak. And let me continue to say that this does not mean Lamar and Deshaun and Dak won't get eye-popping contracts. That's not what that means. But when we look at this league, Patrick Mahomes will be the face of it. Also, Patrick Mahomes is going to be a wise investment for the Kansas City Chiefs based off what television ratings are when he's playing, but also winning, which is a big part of it. AFC championship the year previous and now a Super Bowl champion and an MVP in his young career. So they're forecasting everything about Patrick Mahomes based on what he's already proven. This is a Patrick Mahomes market. This is the climate that was set by Patrick Mahomes. We've talked about it for almost a year now. When Patrick Mahomes' deal is up, or when they decide to negotiate, back up the Brinks truck and let him decide how much he wants to take out of it. And look, I'm not about to fluff money, so I'm glad you went over the contract. $141-some-odd million is what he's going to put in the bank, regardless of whatever happens. But potentially, half a billion dollars for a quarterback in the NFL. And for all intents and purposes, Patrick Mahomes is going to play this contract out based on his age and what we've seen him do. And we think that he's going to continue to have this amount of success. It's magnificent that he got it, but this is about Patrick Mahomes, not Dak, not Lamar, not Deshaun. They will have their own markets as well. I just don't think they'll be $500 million like Kansas City invested in Patrick Mahomes.
Well, I think it could be it could do two things, and this is where I disagree with Swaggo. On one hand, I definitely think it could elevate his stock just a touch, only from the standpoint that the market has clearly been elevated. You got to remember, we're talking about the National Football League here. Hard salary cap and all, just like Max religiously points out. But on many, many occasions, when you hear players lamenting about the state of affairs that exist in the NFL, they talk about the money that's allocated to certain positions and how there's but so much money to go around. And so it gives the impression the money isn't there. And what Kansas City is saying to you is, hell yeah, it's there for the right player or what have you. So I think that it could help elevate in that regard. But it's really, to me, along these lines. Patrick Mahomes signs a 10-year deal. If you're Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, or you're any other team for that matter who wants its quarterback, what's wrong in committing to 5 years? Because remember, Dak was hell-bent on four, according to our very own Adam Schefter. The real issue wasn't necessarily about dollars and cents. It was about the amount of years committed to the team. So when Patrick Mahomes turns around and commits to 10 years, Jerry Jones can then turn around and say, okay, why can't you give me five? There should be nothing wrong with that whatsoever. And that would be the argument that would be made. So I think in those regards, that's how it would influence Dak Prescott. But I definitely think that Dak Prescott is going to get his money. It's just a matter of whether or not he's going to commit to those 5 years. And I think in light of the 10 years that Patrick Mahomes just gave the Chiefs, no matter how much Dak Prescott tries to argue, ultimately, I think he'd commit to 5 years before walking away from a deal just because it didn't end in four like he wanted it to.
I don't think this actually affects Dak Prescott.
I'm just
the truth, because in the end, you're going to point to the guarantee. You say, look, yeah, he got $140 million guaranteed. You ain't Patrick Mahomes, Dak. You want to put yourself in the Jared Goff, Carson Wentz category? Fine, but we're kind of offering you in that, not kind of, we're offering you that ballpark type of deal. Like, Patrick Mahomes didn't shatter the market. Even Molly describing it as the richest contract. That is accurate out of, you know, without context, which, of course, you gave the context. It's not guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Mike Trout's money's guaranteed. It's a way bigger contract, guaranteed. So there's 140 guaranteed here, but with dead cap issues, if they were to cut him at a certain point, all that stuff, it really is much more likely to be well over $200 million. Dak was already offered
it's
a contract.
It's 31%
in line
of his contract,
with the,
Max. It's 31%
right.
of his contract that's actually guaranteed.
31%.
The smallest percentage among all contracts, 25 million plus. So when we're actually talking, the guaranteed is pretty weak. So you are correct.
Right. Now he's also not tying it to the percentage of the team's cap going forward, which helps the team. Like, Dak is doing a version of what Tom Brady did. Not exactly, but like, I'm going to get paid and I want a team around me too. He's smart. I meant Patrick Mahomes. But Mahomes' money is going to be more or less in line. Like, the deal he's being offered now is more or less the deal he's going to wind up signing. I don't think this really affects him.
First, take your take on ESPN News, and furthermore, I don't think this really affects a deal getting done. I still believe that Dak and the Cowboys are going to work out a long-term deal before the franchise tag happens. Don't forget, it ain't game day, but you can still feast like it is. Meet Church's new $5 campfire smokehouse chicken, our fan favorite, with a new campfire flavor, plus mashed potatoes and a biscuit. Church's, bringing that down-home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations. Now, we've talked a lot about Patrick Mahomes. We'll keep taking your thoughts on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Who benefits the most from his new deal? In the meantime, there is other news, though, out there in the landscape of the sports world, and we want to get you caught up on a little bit of it. It comes in the form of 76ers forward Mike Scott. Now, the NBA, for anyone that wasn't paying attention, during the course of deciding to go into a bubble, as part of their plan to make sure that social issues are still addressed, they have decided to allow players to put slogans on the back of their jerseys. But Mike Scott, the 76ers forward, was not a fan of the NBA's execution of this idea. I won't put words into his mouth. I'll let you hear directly from him. This is what he said.
It was just it's a bad list, bad choice. They didn't give players a chance to, voice their opinion on them. They just gave us a list to pick from, So, I mean, that was bad. That's terrible.
Now, I do want to go ahead and clarify a little bit here because he says they didn't give players a chance. It should be noted that the list they were given was agreed upon by the NBA owners and also the NBA Players Association. So while he says it's a bad miss and the players didn't have a voice, at least their union had a voice. And they were presented with a list of items. Instead of being able to go in and decide what they want where, they were presented with a very specific list. So the question is, was it a bad miss? Stephen A. Smith, Max, and Kendrick Perkins broke that down today on First Take.
Why is it that the NBA would come up with ideas for guys in like 15 separate categories, separate slogans, or whatever the hell you want to say, and have them pick from that? That doesn't speak to the issue. But more importantly than that, what I want to say to Mike Scott and all these NBA players who are hell-bent on having a voice when they go to this bubble, you know what? I said this to you, Max, before when I talked about symbolic gestures. I'm not trying to act like they mean nothing. Of course, it has its place. But when you talk about really, really getting stuff done, I don't give a damn about names on a jersey, slogans on a jersey. I don't care about acronyms on a jersey or anything like that. I don't care about Roger Goodell kneeling, with the NFL players if it came to that. I don't care about that nearly as much as I care about things like federal legislation to make the shooting of an unarmed black man by a police officer a federal hate crime. I don't care about that as much as I care about players collaborating with these high-powered white individuals along with lobbyists to go on Capitol Hill and to legislate laws. I don't care about that as much as I care about finding out who are the companies that blacks patronize and who pour money into the sport. Ask them what they're doing for the black community and see if you can partner with them to create more opportunities for those from disenfranchised communities throughout every single NBA city that exists. I care about that far more than I care about symbolic gestures. But I will say that the NBA, if it's true what Mike Scott said, and I don't know that to be the case, but if it's true and they basically just gave them choices and stuff like that, that doesn't necessarily fly. That's not a good look. And, oh, Molly, as an aside, I would also say I'm hearing a lot of rumblings. A lot of people have reached out to me over the last 24 hours talking about how the NBA players themselves are treated vastly different than WNBA players. A lot of people in the WNBA, I'm hearing some noise about the treatment that they're receiving. The hotel room might be fine, but the laundry facilities and things of that nature, it's like considerably less than what NBA players are being treated like. These kind of things will be very problematic for the NBA, because when you say WNBA, it's not like people are going to separate that from the NBA when it comes to something like this. It's going to be all intertwined. So the NBA might need to be aware of that and make sure they address that quick, fast, and in a hurry, because there are rumblings that are proliferating.
Not surprising and not okay.
I disagree about this. I would say that you and I emphasize different parts of this, Stephen A. So not so much as that we disagree. I think that symbols can be powerful and are important, but not if the addressing of those symbols is used as cover for not changing systemic problems. Not if what you talk about, this becomes a federal hate crime. Even if that legislation was passed, that meant no real criminal justice reform or conditions of parole, being addressed, things like that. Because the industrial prison complex is a much greater issue, in fact, in terms of social justice than simply police brutality, right? But one is a more an emotive kind of issue and a surface issue, and the other is more important and systemic. So insofar as symbols and names on jerseys and all those things are cover for not really making change, then you and I agree. But I do think that they can be powerful messages socially that can lead to change and also sometimes reflect a change happening underneath. So again, I would just emphasize a different part of that. And in terms of Mike Scott's specific kind of grievance here, I would say it's analogous to what I just said. It's good that the NBA is saying, hey, you can put messages on your jerseys. But if by selecting from a pool of pre-approved messages is a way of actually controlling what the NBA players say, then that's not as good. If that's a way of co-opting a movement rather than really being allied with the movement, then that's not as good. And then Mike Scott has a point.
And listen, I don't disagree with Mike Scott, right? If that's true, right, he has a valid point. But my thing is, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. And much credit to Adam Silver and the NBA because they have relentlessly been working hand in hand with the Players Association and Chris Paul and Michelle Roberts. Something that I've never seen in my 17 years of being around the NBA. Now, with that being said, my thing is to Mike Scott is call the Players Association. Get Michelle Roberts on the phone. Get Chris Paul on the phone. Talk this thing through before you go out and make a public statement, because I'm pretty sure Adam Silver and the NBA just didn't say, here's the list. No, they contacted the Players Association, and they was working hand in hand. So if I'm Mike Scott, contact the Players Association and Chris Paul, man, behind the scenes and figure out what's going on and then voice your opinion. So I'm not disagreeing with Mike Scott. I'm just saying it could have been handled differently.
By the way, guys, I got some news for y'all real quick. Yeah. Just to make sure I got, okay. Just to make sure I get this out of the way. The NBA texted me, just said, so you know, we didn't create a list and give it to the players. We've been working with the union, and that process is still ongoing. So they've been working with the union, like you said.
That's
KB.
What I'm saying.
Nothing definitive has happened. It's just that so Mike Scott might have jumped the gun a little bit in thinking that it was a foregone conclusion when it's still a process that's ongoing, and it's the league who's been working with the union, and they haven't given any list. So let's make sure we get that info out there.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Look, I think what Stephen A. is saying there is an important point to note here, that this isn't just the NBA coming in and handing off a list. And understand the repercussions if they didn't do this. I think that's the lost part and part of this conversation, is that if you don't acknowledge the repercussions of simply letting everybody decide whatever they want to put on the back of their jerseys, you've opened Pandora's box to eventually having to decide what you're comfortable with and what you're not comfortable with on an individual basis. This is part of the reason we've seen it in the NFL in the past, when players have worn, for example, cancer awareness cleats or merch outside of Cancer Awareness Month in the past that resulted in fines. And it was mind-boggling to people. But part of the reason the NFL justified that was, look, we can't start deciding that some charities are okay and some charities aren't okay. Can the NBA really open up a system where they say, hey, guys, whatever's important to you, put it on the back of your jersey and we'll support it? Well, of course not. I mean, there are ramifications to all of this. They've got to make sure that they're comfortable with their brand being associated with whatever's on the back of any player's jersey. So, obviously, as much as the intent is we're going to continue to raise awareness to social issues by giving players a bigger voice to say something, and they can say something by saying it on their jersey. That's a spectacular intent. But the execution of that intent still demands that at some point you cross every T and dot every I. You've still got to turn around and, as we all know, cover your butt. That's part of what the NBA and the NBA Players Association did together when those two groups, representing all the players and representing all of the owners, came together and decided that they would come up with a list. The list was the best representation of making sure that everybody was comfortable with the possible scenarios of what could be put on brands and players alike. I think that's actually a fair and reasonable solution to all of this. And while it may seem for some players like they're being quieted or hushed because they can't do exactly what they want, you have to understand that every situation is thought of for best and worst case scenarios. And the worst case scenario for the NBA is that they allow this to be as open as anybody wants and somebody puts something on the back of their jersey that doesn't represent the league or doesn't represent the mindset of the players in the correct way. That's the Pandora's box that the NBA was never going to be able to open. We'll keep getting thoughts on this, obviously. And coming up next, we're going to ask a former NBA player how comfortable he would feel in the bubble. We'll do all of that next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive, try all that again. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Get out there, check it out. You guys can hang out with us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the fun, 888-729-3776. Who benefits the most from Patrick Mahomes' new mega deal? Is it a player? Is it a team? Is it a fan base? Is it the rest of the AFC West? I'm just dreaming right now. Let me have my moment. That's the question we're asking you guys. You guys can chime in. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. So 888-SAY-ESPN, really like Nate Taylor from The Athletic earlier, who mentioned Andy Reid is the biggest benefactor of that. We're going to get back to some NBA, but before we do, let's get a quick take in here from you guys. So Pat in Wisconsin, what's your take on this one? Oh, well, we lost Pat. Chuck in South Carolina. Chuck, what you got, man? What's your take?
I think everybody benefits. I think the Chiefs benefit because of they got a great quarterback. Mahomes benefits because of the price he's making. They can still build around him.
Well, I don't disagree with either of that. I mean, it feels like, and if you read some of the quotes from Patrick Mahomes, one of his objectives was to get paid generationally so that nobody in his family ever has to worry about anything ever again. And then one of his other objectives was to set the deal up in a way that it can continue to help the team. And that's one of the staggering things. If you go out to overthecap.com, has a good breakdown on the deal you can check out there. It's one of the staggering things that Tim Hasselbeck pointed out. Over the course of the next 3 years, you'll actually get more money for Teddy Bridgewater than you will for Patrick Mahomes. So, interesting. We'll keep taking your take, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But I want to switch gears and get over to some thoughts on the NBA headed into the bubble. And to do it, we're joined by one of my favorites. Just a guy that I've always loved getting the opportunity to work with, not only because he's an awesome human being, but because he's also immensely talented. ESPN NBA analyst Ryan Hollins joins us on the show now on the Shell Penzo Performance. Hollins, I appreciate you taking the time. I hope you guys are safe and all is well. If you were playing in today's NBA, how comfortable would you be going into the bubble?
Man, I'd have no problem going into the bubble, but the honest to God reality, and I've talked to a number of current players and guys that are going over into that bubble right now, the biggest fear is that you don't know what to expect. This is something that you've never known before. And as an athlete, you're always a creature of habit. You eat the same meal before you go out to the floor. You tie your shoes the same. You know, you see the same repetitive handshakes before we step into the game. So that's the biggest fear, is just the unknown and getting started again. But I think once the ball goes up, guys, you know, kind of get that little rust off, it's going to be basketball again.
That's interesting to me, Hollins, because routine is such a big deal. And so when you start thinking about routine for guys that just haven't been playing competitively for so long, how long will it take them in the bubble to get sort of their sea legs back?
Well, the whole point of being a professional is that, you know, you would imagine that guys are working out now, heading to gyms, running. I know that ideals aren't perfect. You technically aren't able to play 5-on-5. But the reality is, man, you got to be a pro and you got to figure it out. And this is a big separation. Hey, Fitzy, you know this, baby. I'm a hard worker. You see it at the network. But even when I played basketball, I was by far never the most talented guy. But in every offseason, I wouldn't get out of shape. I made sure I ran. I made sure, you know, I played ball. I made sure I did my workout. So, you know, it separated me, you know, when I got a chance to play against other guys, because I'd be ready and others weren't. And I think we're going to see a big distinction here between the guys who have been working.
Well, and that, it's interesting to me because you're right, Hollins. You're a grinder. Yeah, that's what I love about you. We're talking to ESPN NBA analyst Ryan Hollins. One of the other issues going into the bubble, and 76ers Mike Scott called the NBA jersey message plan a, quote, bad miss. Is the NBA is going to allow players to put some social justice messages on the back of their jerseys? But these were pre-negotiated between the NBA and the Players Association. You're a former player, so how much communication is there between the players and the Players Association when these sorts of things are being negotiated?
Some things will be brought out to you, and you'll know it. And I've been a team rep before. I've been a part of the lockout and the CBA negotiations and agreements. And, you know, every rep from each team will, you know, place a vote and go forward. But there's some things that, that happen without you even seeing. And in terms of what Mike Scott is saying, and I speak as an African-American male, a guy who grew up in the inner city and, you know, kind of, you know, played basketball, who's experienced systemic racism, who's experienced prejudices and police brutality and seeing it through my community and my friends and family, the frustrations are that those messages were, you know, downplayed of what you're putting on the jersey. Obviously, you want to make a much larger statement. You want to hear something from the owners and not just a name on the back of the jersey. And you can even look over to the WNBA, who's doing an amazing job. And the WNBA has navigated and said, hey, man, we're actually going to put the names, we want to honor the names of those fallen because we don't want any of you guys to forget. And the NBA said, well, you know, they're watching, well, they're walking a tight line, a tight rope right there, a real tight line, and saying, you know what, guys, we don't want to make the big splash. We want to get back to basketball. But a lot of players, Dwight Howard, Lou Williams, Avery Bradley, who's not showing up because of family issues, were like, hey, man, this is much bigger than basketball, guys. So to kind of censor what someone can put on the back of his jersey. Now, obviously, we know our young fella, Ja Morant, you know, he joked about putting some expletives on there. But, man, players feel very strong about this because it's impacted our communities. It's impacted ourselves and our families. So just the limit of the names on the jerseys, it doesn't feel quite right. And obviously nothing in today's social climate, I'm going to be honest, really feels quite right right now. But, you know, hopefully we move forward and maybe there's going to be more freedom allowed and given through the jerseys.
We're talking to ESPN NBA analyst Ryan Hollins. You mentioned the WNBA, and it feels like, my friend, like the WNBA and the NBA are always so in lockstep. Why are they not on this one?
You know what, man? There's so many moving parts behind the scenes that we can't see. And I will say that I don't want to even say that the NBA got this one wrong. But I want to say, man, they're trying their best. You got to think when you're moving 300 some odd players, the world has essentially shut down due to the coronavirus and everything's happening. And somehow Adam Silver and Michelle Roberts have come together to strike a deal to get basketball back going. And then it seems like half the players didn't want to play. And Adams comes out with the most beautiful words ever and says, guys, I respect yourselves and your families. And if you make the decision not to play because of what's going on, you're still going to get your paycheck. So I think they've shown why the NBA right now stands as the best league in the world. So there's just a lot, man. And I take my hats off to the sponsors for being patient. And you have no idea. It's easy to poke at it from the outside and say how easy it is. Just play or just don't play. It don't work like that when you got contracts and billions of dollars. Yeah, you heard me, buddy. Billions of dollars swirling around. So that's just the truth of the matter. So hats off to the NBA for getting back going and finding a way to, you know, salvage this season.
So we're talking to Ryan Hollins, ESPN NBA analyst. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. Let's get into a little bit of this. When we get into the bubble then, who do you think this favors?
Man, Fitzy, you know, we've kind of chimed in on Twitter, you know, a little while or all the season long. And, you know, I was always a Clipper guy. This is going to happen. This is the Clippers year. They got 8 or 9 bodies. They can throw out a LeBron James. The Clippers should be able to make it happen. But guess what, man? I think COVID-19, the person who's helped out most is LeBron James. Why? I'm going to look at experience. He's the guy who's been to 9 NBA finals. He's the guy who has 3 championships under his belt. LeBron James may have more finals experience than a couple teams combined, man. You throw them all together. So I think the Lakers being a veteran squad, the way LeBron finished the rest of the season, LeBron, keep in mind, he's one of the most aware athletes I've ever played against, and he would just do little things during the game that would blow your mind about his awareness, or he'll bring something up months later on down the line that you didn't think he was paying attention to. You know he was watching The Last Dance. You know, LeBron James was in his backyard or the gym working out feverishly. It never stopped. So I honest to God think that it favors LeBron James and Los Angeles Lakers as the favorites to win a championship. The Mickey Mouse COVID championship, 50, however you want to call it, baby.
Holland, you mentioned LeBron. The other end of the spectrum, I was shook when I saw Zion walk in and just, I mean, he's suddenly chiseled. Like, what was your reaction to seeing just how he's gone from baby fat to just being a man so quickly?
Fitz, I couldn't be more proud of the kid, man. We have so many stories about the what ifs and the almost and the close twos and the never was or the man that guy could have been. You know, we can tell a number of those stories. But I love that Zion Williamson has put his money where his mouth is, and the kid got out there in COVID-19 and started working out and got in shape. And this is something that, you know, everybody's crying for. And from a former basketball player's perspective, I know sometimes I may feel like we're picking on him or calling him out, or he's this, or he's a cheeseburger away. But ultimately, it's out of love, man. We want to see this kid make it, you know, and I don't think he'll be the next LeBron James, but he has the star power to be the next big thing in our league, man. He can carry a torch that can burn for a very, very long time. He's got those type of tools. So hats off to him. And to me, honestly, when you dig into who the kid is and what he's done, man, he has a thirst and a knowledge for the game. He's so humble about the way he goes about things. And that's why I feel confident in Zion Williamson. And I think that this was the biggest statement. You know, you're talking with your mouth and putting expectations or talking with your actions, man. The young fella's talking with his actions, 50.
I love it, man. Follow him on Twitter at TheRyanHollins. Holland, you know how much I love you, brother. I always stand with you. I always stand here for you. And I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show.
Hey, brother, you know it, man. Anytime, man.
First Take, Your Take. Pennzoil synthetic motor oil is made from natural gas, gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Holland's breaking it down there. I am interested to see what the playoffs look like, and I agree with him totally. I feel like the Lakers are going to come in with this edge, and LeBron's going to come in just a man possessed. It's going to be fun to watch. Coming up, who benefits the most from Mahomes' new deal? Plus, an ESPN front office insider explains how Mahomes could have actually received more money on the record-breaking deal. We'll tell you about it next. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN News. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Don't forget, I'm Jason Fitz. Don't forget that. Also, it ain't game day, but you can still feast like it is. Meet Church's new $5 campfire smokehouse chicken. Fan favorite with the new campfire flavor. Plus, mashed potatoes and a biscuit. Church's, bring that down home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations. We've been asking you guys to participate in the show at this point. Who benefits the most from Patrick Mahomes' new deal? Nicholas in Texas, what do you got? What's your take, Nicholas?
Jason Fitz, thank you so much for taking my call. I love you on Golden Wingo. My question is Pat Mahomes going to restructure this deal in 5 or 6, 7, 8 years, however long it takes, to keep the team around him? He is a magnificent player, and I'm so proud of him, i.e. Black Lives Matter. However, is he going to make everyone else's lives matter in order to win Super Bowl championships?
Part of the answer to that, and Nicholas, that's a great question, man. But I think part of the answer comes from, we forget that the salary cap is going to continue to go up. Now, obviously, we're in COVID. We don't know what's going to happen. But we do know that there's a new TV deal coming in just a couple of years. I don't think it's an accident that the first 3 years of this are a lower number, and then it escalates high to a much higher number. That's the point that we'll start to see the new revenue coming in from the collective bargaining agreement and the new revenue coming in from a new TV deal. I think that's sort of a forgotten part about this. 12 years ago, in the last 12 years, the salary cap has risen by 70%. So think about that when you start looking forward. I'm not sure he'll have to take a cut in pay because the cap will have raised exponentially while his pay is already predetermined. So I wouldn't be surprised to see his elevated number still be a reasonable percentage of the new cap, and I think that's part of why they did it. What's funny to me is that some think he could have gotten more. Check out what Lewis Riddick said on Golic and Wingo.
You know, he doesn't even realize how special he is and how big of a star he is. And that's one of the cool things about it. That's why everybody's so happy about it. And the truth is, he could have gotten more. He could have really just took them for everything, and they would have been like, okay, Pat, all right, fine, we'll do that. Now, we may only be able to play with 10 guys, you know, total on the roster, but we'll give it to you. We'll give it to you because we love you that much. He was just like, look, I just want to get this done. I just want to get it done. And the Chiefs now are set up to the way they structured this contract, and the devil will be in the details when they come out specifically, and people are going to poke holes all over the place and say, man, he couldn't have got as much as he didn't get as much as he should have. But he wanted to still be competitive. The Chiefs communicated to him that, hey, look, if you want to be like one of the, I mean, looked at as one of the greats of all time, not only one of the best talents, but one of the best winners of all time, this is what we need to do so we can keep all these cute little toys around you that we've got for you right now. And he wanted that. And that's why, barring anything, God forbid, that goes wrong with his career from a health perspective, he's going to go down, Trey, as one of the best, if not the best of all time, when it's all said and done, if he can keep everybody else around him.
That's part of why I'm so curious to see how this contract affects and impacts other contracts in the league. I'll be clear, we're going to have Lee Steinberg on tomorrow. That's the agent for Patrick Mahomes. But one of the things I'm most curious about, like we've talked about so much, it's not about the best player. Typically, highest paid is about whose turn it is. You just happen to be available when the contract is what it is and suddenly surpass. But what do you do when the best player in the entire league is young and takes such a long-term deal with a locked-in value? I mean, to me, I'm left to wonder if we haven't seen an actual ceiling. And I know everybody says it's impossible that, no, quarterbacks will just go in and continue to get paid more. I don't know it's easy for me to see that. I mean, you're going to be talking about a 33, 34-year-old Patrick Mahomes with a cap hit number of $44.5 million, $45 million. Does that become, at some level, a ceiling, or does he continue to redo the deal? It's funny, the last caller asked if he would be friendly to the team as he goes through. I'm left to wonder if the number won't feel tiny by the time we get to the end of this deal in 2031, and he's only making $52 million. I know that sounds staggering, but again, 12 years ago, the highest paid player in the NFL was Ben Roethlisberger making $27 million. Think about the increase that we've seen in the last 12 years and ask yourself what increase we'll see next over the next 12. Speaking of next, ESPN Radio Afternoon coming up next. Stan Barrett, Neil Everett, appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio.